I will stand on the truth in the living word of God. 'Cause every time it moves my soul and shapes my every thought, it's alive in me. The very breath I breathe, I'm holding on with all I've got to the living word of God.
Welcome to another episode of Journey Through the Word. This book-by-book journey through the Bible is designed to help you in your daily walk with Christ and how to live out the truth of His Word in loving obedience. For more information about Journey Through the Word or West Hickory Baptist Church, please visit us at www.westhickorybaptist.org. We pray that Journey Through the Word blesses you, encourages you, as you seek to advance His kingdom. Be prepared for His living Word to change you. Well, good morning. Welcome to episode 4 of Journey Through the Word. This morning we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 3, looking at verses 6 through 24. But before we get started, let's have a word of prayer, and then Pastor Terry got a quick question to get our time started. Father, we come before you this morning just to thank you for the opportunity we have to discuss your word. Lord, we just look forward to looking at Genesis 3, sharing our thoughts of what we see throughout Scripture, of what you're saying to us through these passages and these verses. And so, Lord, we pray that this morning will just be a time of refreshing for those who are listening. We pray that it will help equip those saints who are listening this morning, Lord, and we pray that it will also plant seeds for anyone who is listening that doesn't know you. And also, Father, that we ask that be in accordance with your will, that if there is one who doesn't know you this morning that's listening to this, that they will hear your voice this morning as you call them to yourself today, Lord, and that they will accept you. They'll come to saving faith in you today, Father God, and so that they will be able to clothe themselves with you instead of the sin that has been hindering them, Lord. And so we pray for that person, whoever that may be this morning, Lord. We look forward to this time. We thank you and we love you. And we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, Pastor Terry, can you think about, or can you describe a decision that you've made in your life that was more costly than you anticipated?
Yeah, I believe that would be dropping out of school when I was 16. I did not anticipate the cost of doing that. And, you know, it is true. We are responsible for our decisions, and that's been one of the decisions that I've had to go back and correct. And it's been more costly than what I've anticipated, you know, but at the same time, I thank God for He's given me the ability to come back to be able to correct that decision.
Yeah, and thanks for sharing that, because as we both know, we live in a world that is broken by sin. We're broken. You and I, we're broken. Our relationships are broken. But most importantly, our relationship with God is broken. So in thinking about our passage this week, thinking about these verses as I read through it, there was a word that kind of kept coming up in my mind, and that word is atonement. Atonement is a biblical term that refers to the solution for all that is broken, the act of restoring our relationship with God. And so atonement, it's a term that's repeated throughout Scripture, which is, and for many of us, it's a difficult concept for us to grasp. See, we tend to think that words like grace and forgiveness mean that we can get away with sin anytime we want. I jokingly have this saying that we treat our salvation like fire insurance. But with sin, real damage is done. And that means that someone must absorb the cost. A price must be paid. And so Jesus Christ made this possible through his death and resurrection. The debt of sin is now paid, and what has been broken is made whole again. And so as I read through Genesis 3, three things just kind of stood out to me, and I just want to share that real quick. And then after I share these three things, I'll give it over to you. Number one, Sin separates us from the life we were designed to experience. Number two, sin separates us from God's presence. And then number three, sin can only be remedied by a substitutionary sacrifice.
You know, I like them 3 points, and I really do. I think they hit the nail on the head. Today, we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 6. We see sin enter into the world. We call it the fall, the beginning of sin in Genesis. There's 3 ways that I want to point out today that the serpent tempts man. If you would, I'm going to be turning my Bible. If you would, turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. We see here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." We see these 3 areas they point out: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you would, just flip back over to Genesis 3, verse 6, and we're going to read that today. Genesis 3, verse 6. And it reads, "And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." We see here these 3 things that we just spoke of. We see there it said good for food, the lust of the flesh. We see that Eve, that and that it was pleasant to the eyes. It was the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the lust, the pride of life. We see these, and I want to point out to you, just for reference, you can go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, I do believe, and I think it's the first part of that chapter. We will see that Jesus was tempted in the same way by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We see that there in the Gospel, and the serpent hasn't changed much over the years. We still get tempted in these 3 areas, and I also want to point out to you real quick and give you a definition of sin. If you would, just turn back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. I want to kind of give you a definition. What is sin? I want to stir your thought and just say, you know, these are, to me, this is Holy Ghost commentary, for it is out of the Bible. We see here in the KJV in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, and I ask you the question, what is sin? Sin is, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." We see that whosoever practiced disobedience is transgressed the law, transgressed the command that God has given. We can look now back at Genesis chapter 2, and we see where God gave Adam a command. Here in chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." We also see in verse 16 that he said you could eat of every tree in the garden. And let's just read it for the sake of it. "And in the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." But we know that God in verse 17 gave Adam a command. So we see here in verse 6, sin entering into the world according to Genesis 3, verse 6 through 13. I believe you've read these things over the week. I ask that you continue to read your Bible on a daily basis. We see here in these 6 through 13 that they have eaten the fruit. They must die. For God said in verse 17, "The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We see here that God gave Adam a command in chapter 2, verse 17, and he did not abide by the command. But we see that Eve here, the woman, was being tempted in the eyes of them both in verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Their eyes were open. They came into the knowledge of good and evil, and fear even set in. We see different things here that has started sitting in. It started causing a lot of problems. When we get away from God's word and do not want to listen to God's command, it causes problem. We commit sin, and that, yes, that separates us from God. That leads to us being separated from God and living a life without God, and that we are condemned. Here we see there is no hope. They are condemned to death. But wait a minute, I want to point out to you here, God loves you today, and God loved them, and God had a plan for restoration, regeneration, to restore man's relationship with God, and to give man eternal life, that whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ will not perish, but have eternal life. We see here that look with me at verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3. And I just want to point out, this is the first time the gospel is mentioned in the word of God, the scriptures. It says at verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Enmity. There's a barrier in between thee and the woman, that the serpent, there's a barrier in between Satan and the woman. We see verse 15 pointing to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, thy seed, Satan's people. I want to point out there, when God is speaking, he said thy seed, that means Satan's people, and her seed, that means God's people. There's two types of people on this earth today. There's God's people, and there's Satan people, the people of Satan and the people of God. The seed is of a woman, a virgin, would bring forth Christ, the Messiah, into the world to deliver all mankind from the bondage of sin, from the wrath and judgment of God. God knew God cannot look upon sin, and the wrath of God was going to be poured out onto the world, but he knew, and he's eternal, and he's omnipotent, and he's omniscient. He knew already that he had this plan from the beginning of creation in chapter 1, that he was going to make a way for Adam and Eve to be redeemed, to be repurchased, The seed would bruise Satan's head, and Satan would bruise his heel. This is speaking of Jesus Christ's substitutionary death on the cross. The shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ paved the way for redemption. That's right, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, lived as a man, died upon the cross, that whosoever will believe on him will be saved. Jesus paid that price for you and I. What love is this, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for you and I, for sinners that are lost, that sinners that are serving themselves and not serving the Creator. The grave could not hold him. No, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the third day. We serve a living God, and he is reigning from above. He is the mediator. We can go to him any day, anytime, anywhere, at any time, and he's already paid the price. He's already received us by faith. Is we have to come to him by faith, and he will receive us, and he makes us the sons of God, and we are covered in the blood, and he lives in us. What God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a loving God and all-knowing, all-wise God that we serve. And I thank God and I praise God today for this revelation here, for God's revelation in His Word. I think that we cannot know these things if it wasn't for the Word of God. I want to encourage you today, if you do not know Jesus, I ask that you come to Him. Contact us here. But I also ask, if you do know Jesus, that you continue to abide in His Word and search out God's will for you through the Word of God and find other believers to be with, that you may grow in your faith and walk as Christians into this world. And I'm going to turn it over to Rob at this time.
Good stuff, Terry. Thank you so much for that. While you're talking, I was sitting there reading ahead a little bit, and just one of the things I think was, we kind of miss sometimes in this section at the end of Genesis 3, starting in verse 22 through 24, we see where God drives Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. And at that point, you know, because Adam and Eve sought so much to be like God that they could no longer be with God. Just read that real quick. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and in the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." And so, sin has now entered the world. We now live in a broken world, in a broken relationship, separated from God. And so, as we continue through this journey, looking through the Bible, we're going to see how God is constantly trying to redeem us, to call us back to Himself.
That's right.
And it's sad, but it's also exciting to know that as we move forward later on, we get to a special section of the Bible. You've already talked about this, and we hear about this young woman who gives birth to Jesus Christ, who has come to redeem us, to save us from our sins. And because of Christ, we can now have a working relationship back with God. And so that's exciting. It's kind of sad that we live in the world that we do right now, but I look forward to that day where we're going to live in a perfect world, where we're not going to know sickness, we're not going to know disease or death or everything else that hinders us. And so I got a closing verse as we close today. I'm telling you, man, we were all over Genesis and all over 1 John today, but because that's where my closing verse is coming from. But it's 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Thanks for listening today. We pray that this was just a time of encouragement to you. And again, just want to reiterate what Pastor Terry said, that if you're listening to this and you've made a decision to follow Christ, please contact us here at West Hickory Baptist Church. You can get our information on the website at www.westhickorybaptist.org. We would love to hear from you about that. And so again, thanks for listening. And then, Pastor Terry, I think you got one quick thing.
I'm going to close us in prayer, if that's okay with everyone, and let's just do that. Father, we come to you, the Lord Jesus, today. Father, we are sinners, and we were lost without you. Father, until you called us and chosen us, and Father, and you put our faith in you, Lord, we ask that you just come and work and do a mighty work in our lives today, Lord. And to those that are listening, I ask that you touch. And Father, if there's any hurting today, Lord, I ask for healing. I ask ask for peace. If there's any sickness or anything, Father, I ask that you work through that, Lord. And if there's any that is lost without you today, God, I ask that they turn from their ways and look unto you and look unto your cross and unto the Lord Jesus, Father, for salvation. We thank you for all that you've done. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.